Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, entitled Ajamil Delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naniskritai utitai brahmavadibhis. Naniskritai utitai brahmavadibhis. Tathavishudyat yagavan vratadibhi. Yatha Vishudyat Yagavan Vratadibhi. Yatha Hare Nama Padai Hudadritais. Yatha Hare Nama Padai Hudadritais. Tarutama Shloka Gunan Guno Palampakam. Tarutama Shloka Guno Palampakam. Naniskritai Rudhitai Brahmavadibhis. Tada Vishudyat Yagavan Pratadibhis. Yatha Hare Nama Padaya Rudahritais. Tarutama Shloka Guna Palambakam. Naki Nani Skritai Ruditai Brahma Vadibhis. Tata Vishudyat Yagavang Pratadibhi. Yatha Hare Nama Padai Rudaritais. Tarutama Shloka Guna Palambakam. Naniskritai utitai brahmavadibhis. Yatha Vishudyat Yagavan Vratadibhis. Yatha Hare Nama Padai Udaritais. Tarutama Shloka Guna Palambakam. Naniskritai uditai brahmavadibhis. Yatha Vishudyat Yagavan Vratadibhis. Yatha Hare Nama Padai Udahritais. Tadutama Shloka Guna Palambakam. Naniskritai utitai brahmavadibhis. Yatha Vishudyat Yagavan Vratadibhis. Yatha Hare Nama Padai Udahritais. Tarutama Shloka Guna Palambakam. Ladies, Naniskriteru diter brahmavadibhis. Yatha Vishudyat Yagavan Pratadibhis. Yatahare nama padaru dahritais. Taruttama shloka gunopalambakam. Na, not, niskritai, by the process of atonement, uditai, prescribed, brahmavadibhi, by the learned scholars such as Manu, tata, to that extent, vishuddhyati, becomes purified. Aghavan, a sinful man. Brata Adivi, by observing the vows and regulative principles. Yata, as Harer, of Lord Hari. Nama Padai, by the syllables of the holy name. Udahritai, chanted, taught that. Uttama shloka, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, of the transcendental qualities. Upalambakam, reminding one. Translation, by following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Lord Hari. Although the ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service, unlike the chanting of the Lord's names, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, qualities, attributes, pastimes, and paraphernalia. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord has special significance that distinguishes it from the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement for severe, more severe, or most severe sinful actions. There are 20 types of religious scriptures called Dharma Shastras, beginning with the Manu Samhita and Parashara Samhita. But herein it is stressed that although one may become free from the reactions of the most sinful activities by following the religious principles of these scriptures, this cannot promote a sinful man to the stage of loving service to the Lord. On the other hand, chanting the holy name of the Lord, even once, not only frees one immediately from the reactions of the greatest sins, but also raises one to the platform of rendering loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described as Uttama Shloka because he's famous for his glorious activities. Thus one serves the Lord by remembering his form, his attributes, and pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is all possible simply by chanting the Lord's holy name because of the Lord's omnipotence. What cannot be achieved through the performance of Vedic rituals can be easily achieved through the chanting of the Lord's holy name. To chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy is so easy and sublime that one can achieve all the benefits of spiritual life simply by following this process. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to Shri Krishna Sankirtan. The Sankirtan movement, we have started, offers the best process for becoming purified of all sinful reactions and coming immediately to the platform of spiritual life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Paramananda Maravam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram. So, before this sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, it's described the hellish planets, the place where sinful persons suffer. And one may ask, well, why would God want to make a hellish place for people to go? Right? So, many feel this is just mythology, it's someone's invention that there's hellish planets, hellish places to go and suffer. Right? It's just to keep people morally and ethically in line. Right? Somebody invented it. It's not real. Right? It's just an idea that somebody had. If you tell them if you sin, you'll go to hell, then they won't sin. Right? And therefore, there's people that believe there's no need for religion. Simply, people have to be ethical. And religion is there to force people through mythology and fear of hell to be ethical. But if people use their intelligence and act ethically anyway, then what is the need for religion? So there's a group in America called the Ethical Society. Right? They don't believe in religion, but they believe in ethics. And they feel that if everyone is living according to proper ethics and behave ethically, there's no need for religion. Religion is just there to get people to act ethically. So do we accept that? Oh. Once I saw a photograph, there was a wildebeest. You know what a wildebeest is? Well, it's an animal that lives in Africa, specifically in East Africa, in the grasslands of Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania. Right? Wildebeest. They kind of look like buffaloes, right? But they're smaller than buffaloes. Well, they're wild animals, and they live in herds. And I saw this photograph once. There were six lions that attacked this wildebeest. And one had them by the throat, one had them by the leg, one had them by the... They were all over him. Right? And I thought, oh, how hellish. That poor animal is suffering being attacked by these six lions. Right? So we see, even in this world, there are many suffering conditions. Hellish conditions. You can imagine walking down the path and all of a sudden six lions come to attack you. Right? Wouldn't that be hellish? Right? So if we can see right in this very world, there are hellish things that are happening to people and animals, why do we think it impossible that there's a place where it's only hellish? In this world, there are some hellish things, and there are some good things. You can breathe the fresh air. You can drink the clear water. And that is nice. Is it not? Just like I was recently in Nepal. on some BBT mission. And there, the air compared to Bombay is very fresh. It's like you don't even need to eat food because there's so much energy coming from the air. Right? And the water is flowing down out of the mountain, fresh water with all the minerals in it. Right? It's a river just that flows right through the temple property called the Vishnu Mati. Comes out of the mountain. Fresh water, fresh air. In Bombay, no fresh air, and God knows what's in the water. So there's some nice things, right? But there's some pretty suffering things too. One devotee was describing how his wife and he were traveling, preaching about Srila Prabhupada, and then all of a sudden she got cancer. And within 3 months, she was gone. Right? So there's some good things, there's some hellish things in this world. But in the hellish planets, it's only hellish. Right? So, our own experience tells us that there's hellish things here. And Shastra tells us that there's another world where it's only hellish. So why should we disbelieve it? Why should we believe the ethical society that there's no such thing? When we can see for ourselves, even in this life, there are some pretty hellish situations. Right? So we can conclude that yes, Shastra is correct. So there's descriptions how this works. We've seen the life of Ajamil. The Yamadut has come. Right? And there's two kinds of persons. There's persons that perform a majority of sinful activities. And there's severe, more severe, and most severe sinful activities. Right? And for that, one goes to the court of Yamaraj. So in going to the court of Yamaraj, it's described in the Puranas that for the sinful person, it's a very long distance to the court of Yamaraj. And the path is filled with thorns and stones, extreme heat and extreme cold. And the soul is taken by a rope, by the Yamadutas, and dragged against his will in the hot sun. And he's thirsty and he cries out for water, but he doesn't get any. And when he finally gets to the court of Yamaraj, Yamaraj looks like a hideous monster with long teeth and burning red copper eyes. And he's surrounded by the personification of leprosy and tuberculosis. Very, very fearful. And he speaks very harshly to the spirit soul. And his assistant, Chitragupta, is there informing the sinful living entity of the sins that he performed. And Chitragupta asked him, why did you do these sins? Why did you kill a Brahmin or kill a cow? Or have sex with another man's wife? For this you must suffer. And the Yamadutas, the assistants of Yamaraj, immediately take the sinful living entity and smash him against the rocks. And blood comes out from all the parts of his body, but he doesn't die. And then he's sentenced, according to the severity of his sins, to various hells. Right? There's a place where there's only stools and worms, and the living entity is thrown into that place. And there's so many hells. But there are other persons who are predominantly pious. They perform many pious activities. So their path to the abode of Yamaraj is very short. It doesn't take very long to get there. And there's not so many difficulties. And when they see Yamaraj, he appears like a gentleman. It's a nice cloth and he speaks with them respectfully. So they have a different experience. And Yamaran tells them that you perform many pious activities. So I'm making arrangements for you to go to the heavenly planets very soon. And he gives them some nice foodstuffs. And he gives them some nice things to drink. And he said, very soon, you know, your flight will be leaving for the heavenly planets. But it's not Indigo. It's another airline. So, and then he informs them, and after you finish your time up there, then you can come back here to suffer for the sins that you committed. So even if you're pious, you don't get away with sinful activity. Still, you have to suffer. Now, the Vedic scriptures give various prescriptions for atonement from sinful activities so that you don't have to suffer in Yamaraj's abode for the sins that you commit. Right? So again, there are, you know, severe, more severe and most severe sins that one may commit. And there are, likewise, prayaschitya, are atonements for severe, more severe and most severe sins. Like for a person who, it's very sinful to become a drunkard. Right? And there's a prayaschitya, an atonement for being a drunkard. But it's a little bit severe. In the shastras, which are mentioned here, Manusamhita and Parashurasamhita, and the other dharmic shastras, they give all the prescriptions for atonement. And for a drunkard, the atonement is that he should take ghee and make it boiling hot and drink that ghee and then die. And then the sin, or the reaction for the sin of becoming a drunkard, will be atoned for. One of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was given something to drink from the cup of a Muslim. Right? So he, by dint of that, he became a Muslim. And he went to a Brahmin for what do I do? So he looked it up in the Manusamhita and found out, oh, all you have to do is drink boiling ghee and then you'll be relieved of the sin. So they thought, oh my God, what to do? He went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is my situation. What should I do? And he said, just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So Shastra states that there's no better way for becoming free from the reaction of sins than to chant the holy name of Krishna. This pleases the Supreme Lord so much that he gives relief from the reactions of sinful activities. If you kill a Brahmin, the method of prayaschitta, atonement, is that you have to keep the skull of that Brahmin in your hand and go to all the holy places and take bath there while you're carrying this skull, or some part of the, even his cloth, or put it on a stick, and everyone will know that you killed a Brahmin and that you're coming to this holiest place to become free from that sin. That's the prayaschitta. But here we see, on the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the shastras, that the most effective way to become relieved of the effects of sinful activity is to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But over and above this, even more important than this, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one becomes free from the desire even to commit sinful activities. And this was the amazing thing for Parikshit Maharaj, that According to the Vedic scriptures, atonement processes are there. But even after atonement, the persons again commit the same sin. They become professional sinners. In the Christian faith, the Catholic religion, which formerly I came from, if you committed some sin, then you would go to the church and they have this little box. It's like a little box. And on either side, there's a place for a person to come in. And in the box, the priest sits. So the priest is sitting there, and there's little doors on either side. So he can close this door and open this door, or he can close this door and open this door. So people come in from either side, and they kneel down, and then he opens the door, and then the person says, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And then he tells whatever he did. So then the Father says, "Okay, say 3 Hail Marys and 4 Our Fathers." And then he closes the door and opens this door, and then the next person is there. So this is called confession. People confess their sins, and in this way they become free from that sin. But Prabhupada said, what is the use of that if, so, you know, then on Monday, you're out there sinning again. Right? And Parikshit Maharaj had the same consideration, that one performs prayaschitya, atonement, but then again performs sin. He compared it to the hati snan. The hati goes to the river, gets in the river and bathes nicely, right? Throwing water with its trunk all over its body, gets down in the water and washes its whole body very nicely. However, as soon as the elephant gets on the shore again, it takes the dry dust and throws it over its body. Have you ever seen that? I've seen it. It's actually true. That's what hatis do. That's their thing. So, Maharaj Parikshit felt that performing prayaschitya, becoming free from a sin, and then going out and committing the sin again, what's the use? It's like a hati snan. So, Sukadeva Goswami is relating this pastime of Ajamil to show the power of the holy name. And that power is that the holy name not only relieves one from the effects of sinful activities. If one chants the name of Krishna, it relieves him of more sins than is possible to commit. But it also relieves the living entity of the desire to perform sinful activities. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the Sankirtan movement. Because simply by chanting and dancing in kirtan, in association with devotees, one can get the highest destination, which means to become free from sin so you don't have to go to Narak. No! The highest destination means to become free from the desire to try to enjoy in this material world and go back to Krishna Loka. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. Cheto Darpanam. The consciousness is like a mirror. It reflects what is before it. But our consciousness is covered over by association and contamination of the material energy. So we're not getting a true reflection of who we really are. But the power of the holy name is that it clears the mirror of the consciousness so that the true reflection comes through. That I'm not this material body. I don't want to sleep in the Bhagavatam class. I want to be awake. I want to be awake. I want to be conscious. I want to be Krishna conscious. So, there's one nice purport. I'll read it from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text Number 59. And I believe this sums up the purport nicely. So I'll just read this. The devotee whose heart has become completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 25, Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkana rasayana katha chajoshanara shvapavagavartvani shradharatir bhaktir anukramisati. Simply by the association of pure devotees, one can understand the transcendental name, fame, quality, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has repeatedly said, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai, Lav Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hai. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu Sangha, or association with a devotee, means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. Specifically, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra purifies one, and this chanting is therefore recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Cheto Tarpana Marjanam. By chanting the names of Krishna, the mirror of the heart is cleansed, and the devotee loses interest in everything external. When one is influenced by the external energy of the Lord, his heart is impure. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetaraha. He whose heart is purified can see that the whole cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he whose heart is contaminated sees things differently. Therefore, by satsanga, our association with devotees, one becomes perfectly pure in the heart. Now in our movement, the devotee who started this Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada, he's considered the, you know, although there may be many pure devotees, he's the purest of the pure, Srila Prabhupada. So, association means to take one of his instructions and make it your heart and soul, and always meditate on that. And if you do that, then you're associating with him directly. It's not required that you have that physical association. One should never think that because I came later, I didn't have the association of Srila Prabhupada, I didn't see Srila Prabhupada. But one can always have the association of Srila Prabhupada because there's two types of association. One is Vani and one is Vapu. Right? So, Vapu is sometimes appreciated and not appreciated. It's sometimes possible and sometimes not possible. But more important is the Vani. So when we hear from Srila Prabhupada that, kindly help me, this is my request, right? Please distribute my books. And we take that to heart and we meditate on that, then we're associating with the purest of the pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada. Right? And we can make advancement as recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam very quickly by that association. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Grantra Chimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Om.